The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Thank you for sticking with us. We got a little late start because of some technical issues. Of course, it's OS technology that trips us up. But I'm broadcasting live from Brooklyn, so shout out to Brooklyn. Today's show is all about polyamory. Now, we've discussed polyamory on the show before, but if you are new to this concept, let me just briefly define it. Polyamory is, well, this is how I define it, is the desire and or practice of having multiple significant intimate relationships simultaneously, so having multiple partners. And the newest book on the subject is called The Polyamorists Next Door. It takes a look at polyamorous families and how they come to be, how they manage the ins and outs of family life, and how they cope with the challenges they face both within the family unit and from society at large. Using real stories, author Dr. Elizabeth Sheff explores the polyamorous household and reveals advantages, disadvantages, and lots of details about the daily lives of those living in them. She's going to be my first guest, and then coming up later in the show, I will talk to Anita Wagner, a polyamory expert and educator, and together Anita and I are going to answer all of your questions about non-monogamy. And I will say we got more questions for this show than we've gotten for any other show. So this is clearly a conversation you guys want to have, and I'm really excited about it. We are live, and so you can be part of the conversation. And if you join the conversation, you have a chance to win a prize. Each week, we give away a Sport Sheets prize to one lucky listener. And today, we have a special second giveaway, which is a copy of The Polyamorous Next Door. All you have to do is call us, post a question or a comment on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, on our Facebook page, send us a question by email, tristan@puckerup.com. And the phone number, in case you don't have it, is 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. Let me tell you about our first guest. A pioneer in research on polyamory, Dr. Elizabeth Sheff, who also likes to be called Eli, is the foremost academic expert on polyamory in the United States and the worldwide expert on polyfamilies with children, having conducted the only longitudinal analysis of polyfamilies with children to date. As senior legal consultant at Sheff Consulting Group, Dr. Sheff specializes in families of sexual minorities, providing expert witness services, home evaluations for unconventional families facing child custody issues or attempting to adopt, and continuing education to lawyers, educators, counselors, and therapists. As I said before, her book is called The Polyamorists Next Door, Inside Multiple Partner Relationships and Families. And it was just published by Rowan and Littlefield. Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Welcome back, Eli.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here again.
So my first question, because I got to ask you all these like probing personal questions the last time you were on the show, and if people want the answers to those, they should read your book. But my first question is about when you began this research, because one of the things that's the most significant about this book is that the study is deep and long. It's a really long study, and it's the only study that's been done on poly families. And I know that you were in academia for 15 years, and then you left academia to start your consulting firm. I'm wondering that while you were there, did you face conservatism and resistance to even studying polyamory?
I would have to say a resounding yes, actually. I had one committee member when I was studying it for my dissertation say to me, maybe no one, I was telling her, oh, this is the first time anyone has studied this. I think this is kind of an exciting opportunity to look at this new thing no one has studied. And she said, well, maybe no one has studied it because it's not interesting. And ironically, I think she might be eating her words now, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm biased on this subject, but I think anyone who's interested in family units, family structures, and kinship, anyone would find this fascinating.
Fascinating, possibly, but I think it's also very threatening to people sometimes. In a way that not everyone has the capacity to be gay, because a lot of people just don't experience same-sex attraction.
Right.
Almost everyone has the possibility to be polyamorous because so many people in long-term relationships have had the experience of feeling attraction to someone else. It's really common. So I think polyamory really scares people in a way that other sexual minorities don't necessarily, because they think, oh, that really could be, what if my partner wanted to do this? I think that's what makes it really scary for a lot of people.
You know, it's a great point. It's like how people react to the subject itself is revealing, because people, you don't mean to, but when you bring up the subject, people immediately go to, oh, wait, that person's polyamorous? Well, what does that mean about my relationship or the possibilities or the way it's going now or what kind of needs it's being met? You know, if people feel secure, I think, in their choices, then they're okay with whatever other people do. If they feel a little rattled by it, then it's like pushing their buttons.
Absolutely. I definitely agree.
One of the things that I found really fascinating about your book is that all of the people are challenging this very deeply entrenched dominant model of relationships, of love, of commitment, of marriage. And yet one of the things that you found that you write about is that within polyamorous families, you still found that people were pretty attached to traditional gender roles.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it?
It's unexpected.
I thought so too.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think a lot of it is economics. There, you know, women still, as of the 2010 census in the United States, women were still making 71 cents to the male dollar. So if you're going to have someone at home with the kids, it should be a lower waged worker. You keep your worker that's making the most money in the workforce. So structural things, it's ironic too, because these families are challenging structure, but they're not getting outside of the economic structure of the United States that has, you know, wage inequity that seems pretty long standing. I mean, it really hasn't budged since 1973, I think. I just made that date up. It's early 70s sometime. Well, pretend it's 1973.
Okay. Okay, this brings up another issue, which I feel like I have to commend you for, because I feel like time and time again in the book, you remind us that lots and lots of people who are featured in your book are white and middle class. I feel like you're really attendant to class issues, and you don't attempt to conflate them with other issues. But you often bring the conversation back to this commonality could be because they're poly, but it also might be because they're white, educated, and middle class.
Right. I see that especially with the kids, because the kids in poly families are just in great shape. And their parents are white, upper middle class, highly educated. Not all of them are upper middle class. Some of them are struggling financially, certainly. But in general, they're highly educated. And it just, you know, these kids are kind of born on third base in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then add in the extra attention, the additional resources that they get. The additional role models, even just the help with homework. You know, these kids actually have quite a few advantages compared to a lot of other children.
And I know within the field of sociology, there is already a standard for such a thing as participant observation. But I think that that applies differently here because we're talking about these really intimate relationships. So I'm wondering if you had any qualms at all about sharing your story in the book, your own sort of magical ride through polyamory. That's what I like to call it.
I'm glad it came across as magical. It really was not very fun when I was doing it. I did have some qualms, but I also felt that it's really important for people to have the perspective of who is this person that's saying all of this? It's actually a crucial feminist research and reporting method of putting yourself in social context. The kind of objective observer has been proven, if you look at who is seen as objective, it tends to be white middle-class men and other people. Like, men can say something on gender and it's taken for granted. Women say something on gender and it's kind of suspect. So objectivity in that way is problematic. There really is no objectivity. So better to cop to your subjectivity. You know, I felt like giving readers a really good sense of what I had done with it in my own life could give them a better understanding of the rest of the book, especially because I made so many of the common mistakes, cliche mistakes, right and left.
I mean, you sort of are every woman. That's part of what is so appealing about your story is that you're flying into it blind, as many of your readers might be, because they might be just at the beginning of their exploration. And so we can sort of go along with you and relate to you. The newbies can, especially, I think, with we were trying to figure this out as we went along.
Definitely.
Okay, we need to take a break. And I didn't plan this in advance, but speaking of magic rides, have you heard of the magic wand vibrator? That is a rhetorical question. If you haven't, it's considered one of the strongest vibrators on the market. And they recently relaunched it. The new one is lighter weight. It has modern circuitry and stronger internal construction. And you know where you can buy it? At Good Vibrations. Go to goodvibes.com. And while you're there, buy the wand, get some lube, get some other stuff, and use coupon code TristanGoodVibes for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more. Okay, stay with us. We're talking about The Polyamorists Next Door, a fascinating new book with Dr. Sheff. So don't go anywhere.
Stay stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today we are talking live with Dr. Elizabeth Sheff, the author of The Polyamorists Next Door. You can also call and talk to us, or in a little while, talk to polyamory expert Anita Wagner. Our number is 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. So Eli, another thing that you talk about in the book, which I understood, but I hadn't really had a name for, and I don't know if you coined this term or if someone else did, is something called couple privilege. And this comes up kind of again and again, and I'm hoping you will define it and then talk about what it means and how it presents itself in polyamorous relationships.
You know, I didn't make that term up. I'm not sure who did. I've just heard it around and applied it. It often comes into play when there's an existing relationship and then they start looking for additional partners, either to date themselves as a unit or to date individually. But the couple privilege comes in when people make moves to protect the couple relationship regardless of the cost to others. And it's kind of like importing this monogamous mindset of the couple is the thing. And now we're just kind of branching off a little bit, but these other relationships aren't real, kind of like monogamy. The couple is the real thing. And these other things are kind of extras or sidelines, but disposable somehow. And it's that disposability and the emotional consequences of that for the non-couple people that come across as couple privilege.
But you don't just see that as kind of, a form of like hierarchical polyamory, just where people consider one person primary and others either non-primary or secondary?
You know, I think it's an outcome of that, actually, that when you have this primary partner gets this kind of special consideration, the people you're dealing with can try to kind of build firewalls around their hearts and not get too emotionally involved, but you know, mere humans often do get emotionally involved, even if they aren't intending it.
Right.
You know, you can't always control how you feel about someone. So even if you come into something feeling like, okay, I see that this is the rules, this is the structure, you may fall more in love, or you may just, things may work out differently than you had anticipated. And suddenly the structure that protects the couple ends up costing the other people and members of the couple their emotional well-being.
Okay, so speaking of feelings, I think this this question we got from a listener speaks to that, and I'm going to ask you to answer it. This is from Amanda, and she says, I'm currently in a poly relationship with a married couple, and they're both older than me. Just this weekend, they asked me to move in with them. I would have my own bedroom, and I would be contributing to the household. And I really want to move in, but here's my dilemma. I feel like I'm more in love with the husband than I am the wife. I'm wondering if this is common among open relationships. Is there a way to handle it, or should this shy me away from taking the next step with them? So did this come up in your research, a sense of imbalance among members of triads or other group configurations?
Definitely. And it's hard to make rules around, you know, if you love one person, you must love this other person they're with. You know, back to you feel the way you feel and you can't really make rules about it. Amanda, I would say if this other couple that you're interested in moving in with, if you can establish some kind of non-sexual relationship with the wife, if she is someone that you enjoy, you don't have to be in love with her, you don't have to even be attracted to her, but can you live comfortably with her? Can you share space without feeling uncomfortable? I would caution you, Amanda, in terms of moving in with someone immediately. Polyamorous relationships can have this element called new relationship energy, or NRE, and making big, important life decisions when you are having NRE can be foolish. If you're, you know, all excited and everything is perfect, and everything that person thinks about or touches glows with effervescence, then that's a signal that maybe you're experiencing new relationship energy. And it's fun. It's like a ride. You can ride it, but don't take it for real life. So if you've known these people for quite a while and things have been working for a long time, then sure, move in, see how that goes. But if this is a brand new thing and you are just figuring it out, maybe hold off on moving in until you see how things work out emotionally.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, I think just like with lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans people, one of the things that conservatives and crazy right-wingers say is, oh my God, polyamory, what about the children. And of course, you are the only person ever to do comprehensive research on polyamorous families with children. So I'm going to ask you, what about the children? And more specifically, did you find when you talked to children that they were more likely to choose monogamy or polyamory or both?
You know, most of the children said, I don't know. When I would ask them if they thought they would be polyamorous or monogamous, what they thought, a lot of them said, I thought very insightfully, they were just figuring things out. So it certainly wasn't this knee-jerk acceptance of, oh, polyamory is the only way to be. And it wasn't a blanket rejection of polyamory is sucky. I would never consider that. Certainly, I got both of those reactions at the edges of kind of the spectrum of what people said. But most people, kid-wise, fell in the middle somewhere of, I'm just not sure. I'm figuring this out. I'm figuring out if I'm straight, bi, gay, whatever. I'm figuring out just who I am, and it's too soon.
And one of the things you also argue in the book is that it's really people's attitudes about their parents and their family units really depends on their age. That you kind of divide people into, you know, young children, tweens, teenagers. And, you know, as I read it, it seemed all very ordinary, and I could really relate to it, which is like when you're a young kid, you're like, who's going to take me to soccer? And when you're a teenager, you're like, my parents don't have sex. Ew, the less I know, the better. And all of those kind of common things we think of seem to apply when you said, hey, what do you think about your parents being polyamorous?
Definitely. It was very mundane. A lot of the little kids, I didn't even use that word. I didn't ask them that because, you know, when you're five, you don't know what polyamory is. You're just like getting attention from lots of people. And a lot of the teenagers were like, you know, whatever, my parents are doing their own thing. I have my own life. I have my friends. I'm doing my thing. You know, like their parents' sex lives did not run their own lives. They had their whole own thing happening.
Well, I want to talk to you more about this, but we are almost out of time. I do want to tell my listeners, though, that this book is so important. It is not just another kind of how-to book or memoir on polyamory. This adds to the body of work that already exists in a new way that is, I think, critical to people's understanding of polyamory. And so I'm really glad, for one, that you devoted so much time and energy and resources into doing such a long-range study.
Thanks, Tristan, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate that.
So, like I said before, we're going to give away a copy of Eli's book, so you should interact with us, people. And, of course, all of you who already emailed us questions, you are eligible to join to possibly get a copy. But let me remind you, Dr. Eli Sheff is the author of The Polyamorists Next Door, Inside Multiple Partner Relationships and Families. You can find out more at her website at elizabethsheff.com. And let me spell it, Elizabeth with an S, like Sam, Sheff, SHEFF.com. And also on Facebook. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. We are going to take another commercial break and hear from our fabulous sponsors, including Astroglide. Astroglide's sensitive skin gel is all the things you love about their gel formula, but none of the irritating ingredients. No parabens, no glycerin, and it's made with natural ingredients. Go to astroglide.com to find out more. Coming up next, we are going to have an extended two-segment Ask Tristan. And I'll be joined by polyamory expert Anita Wagner, and we'll be answering your questions. So stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try Astroglide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. Astroglide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. Astroglide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does Astroglide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex-safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to remind you, we are live and we already have a caller. Hang on the phone, caller. I'm going to get to you in a moment. You can also join us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. My next guest is Anita Wagner Illig, a thought leader, media consultant, spokesperson, and educator on polyamory, relationship choice, and families of the heart. Through her website, practicalpolyamory.com, she provides resources on a vast range of subjects of interest and concern to the polyamory community, as well as to members of the media. Anita serves on the advisory council of the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Alliance, is an active member of the Polyamory Leadership Network, and has served as a member of the board of directors of Loving More. She's also a co-founder and former member of the board of directors of the Institute for 21st Century Relationships. She has taught more than 100 classes on polyamory relationship skills at conferences across the United States. And so if there's anyone you want to get some answers and advice from, it is Anita Wagner Illig. Welcome to Sex Out Loud.
Thanks. I'm really glad to be here, Tristan. Thanks for inviting me to join you.
So next month, you are giving the keynote speech at Poly Living in Philadelphia, which is February 7th to the 9th. First, tell me what Poly Living is.
Well, Poly Living is a lot like what it sounds like it is. It's a hotel conference, that provides all kinds of educational information, workshops, and some fun stuff to people who are interested in polyamory. It's a place where a lot of people who've known each other for years get to see each other when you don't get to see each other very often otherwise. And it's a place to find out more if you're new to polyamory, you're thinking of opening a relationship, or you're thinking that that's the right thing for you and you're looking for partners. It's also an excellent place to meet people for that reason, too. So it's been going on probably now for about, this is probably its sixth or seventh, maybe even eighth year. It was founded by a fellow named George Marvel in Philadelphia, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago, and we do it also in his honor as well. We're glad that he started the event, and Robin Trask at Loving More carries that forward and does a really great job at it. So it's a really awesome event.
You know, polyamory has been more in the mainstream media than ever before. I'm wondering if you will give me a tiny preview of what you're going to talk about in your keynote.
Oh, absolutely. The general idea is going to be to talk a lot about exactly what you talked about. Talk about polyamory's increased visibility to the world at large, to the mainstream. For a long time, polyamory was this little edge of the edge kind of practice until the media notice started happening in a positive way. For years, the only thing we got was an invitation here and there to be on a talk show that turned out to be disastrous for the poly people, and to be, you know, sort of a what you'd feel like being attacked by, you know, a lot of unhappy people. So once the media started treating us respectfully and treating the subject of polyamory as a legitimate subject for inquiry, then we started really being able to get our message out and let the world know more about what we are and what we're not, and to correct erroneous assumptions about what we are and what we aren't. So what that brings us to now, that development, is a time where all of us as polyamorists are more visible than ever, assuming we want to be out. That's still a question for a lot of people who can only answer it for themselves, depending on whether there are risks involved, because there are still risks to consider if one is out as a poly person. But what we also are finding is that this creates a wonderful atmosphere where people are more aware of polyamory. They're not so shocked by the idea of it, at least. It certainly helped that the Showtime series Polyamory, Married and Dating has had two seasons now. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people to find out more about that. So we're going to talk. I'm going to talk about that and the run up to this point in time, and also give people some ideas on how they can help the polyamory movement be the best it can be to accomplish the most we can in ways that will work for them, that don't involve taking tremendous risks, but help support the movement itself.
Okay, we've got a caller. Thanks for staying on hold so long. This is Colleen in San Diego. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what's up?
I came to the realization that polyamory made the most sense for me about 2 years ago, and it was very liberating. But since then, I've only encountered difficulties in actually forming the kind of relationship I'd like. You mentioned earlier this couple privilege, and that's a serious obstacle. You know, I can engage in swing-like activities with couples, but they're protective of the emotional intimacy aspect. And then with men, they're more than willing, single men are more than willing to engage in multiple relationships, but the other women that they're engaged with aren't told. And I have this craving and this need for honesty and genuineness, which I believe that poly represents. And so I don't really feel that I've found a poly relationship, and I don't know how to go about doing so. I'm in San Diego, where we have a great large poly community, but their established relationships and they're locked into these agreements.
Well, hi, Colleen. This is Anita Illig, and I'll see what I can do to answer your question. You are in a good place as poly community goes, and I'm really sorry you've had so much trouble finding appropriate partners. Unfortunately, the truth is that we do have to meet a lot of people sometimes before we find people who are what we're looking for, and, you know, that's true in the monogamous dating world as well. That's not to say that your problem is not a legitimate one, though. I think the only thing you can really do is to be choosy in who you decide to get involved with, and then be very honest. It sounds like you're an honest person, upfront about what you're looking for, and then keep your eyes open as you date people and your ears open to get to know them and get to know what their desire is, their need is, what they're looking for themselves, and be, of course, forthright with couples about your desire to be, I assume, an equal partner, certainly someone who is afforded the opportunity to have the emotional honesty and not just the physical activities. And when you put all that together, obviously that's powerful. And also, I will encourage you by saying, as I assume you're a single woman or dating as a single woman right now, that's a pretty attractive position to be in. You'll have plenty of interest, I'm sure. It's just, of course, a matter of choosing wisely.
It seems to be superficial interest, though, and that's my problem. I feel like, as a single, it's the elusive unicorn that everyone wants, but sexually only.
Yeah. And you are spending time within the local polyamory community to get to meet people, is that right?
Oh, yeah. I know Kamala, Devi, and crew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, perhaps you just still haven't met the right people, because if you make it known that you want an ongoing, emotionally connected, committed, I assume, relationship with someone or someones, then you're also in a position to ask them what they want and how that would fit for them in their life. And if they're not honest with you at that point, then unfortunately, you'll know soon enough whether they were being honest with you or not.
Yeah. Are there any networking sites out there that, like online dating for the monogamous, but for the single crowd versus online dating for poly?
Oh, there are lots of those, I'm sure. But one problem we encounter is it's important to, as we like to say, date within your species, which means you may meet people who are single and like them, and you may be attracted to each other, and you tell them what you want, and they may be really into you, and so tell themselves, hey, that sounds all right, I'll give that a try. But ultimately, when they encounter some of the challenges that come up, and we know they do come up, especially when you're trying to wrap your head around having relationships that are very different than the standard traditional model, they may need to take some time to evaluate on their own. They may decide it's not for them, and that's part of the road. That's part of the journey.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but I think you misunderstood my question. I know that there's the regular online sites. Are there poly sites where the only other people I'd be interacting with are people who are in my species that want poly relationships?
Oh, I see. Sorry about that. Well, there's the most popular with the polyamory community right now is OkCupid. It's been popular for quite a long time. I know a lot of people who have profiles there and who meet partners there. And again, I think all you can do is when you meet someone there, you know, you can make arrangements for a phone call or whatever and chat, meet if it's somebody local, meet up for coffee somewhere. And once again, ask all these questions and tell them what you're looking for and ask them if they are interested in that kind of relationship too.
And I would be really direct. I mean, quite frankly, the gamble, you know, the gamble is the gamble on OkCupid. We know that it's not poly negative, but I would be real direct and say, listen, if you're looking for a hookup, don't contact me. I know that sounds bitchy to some people, but I feel like because people use innuendo and sometimes kind of skate around what they're really looking for, you know what you're looking for. You don't have to say don't contact me, but maybe you can say I'm really looking for a relationship. I'm not looking just to swing. I'm not looking just to hook up. Like, please read my whole description before you contact me. Like, let's not waste each other's time. I think that will get you going in the right direction, because it sounds like you know what you want, which is half the battle. And now you need to, like you said, find some people who want more than just the hookup.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call, Colleen.
Thank you.
We are going to take another break and hear from some of our great sponsors. I just got back from the Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo, and WeVibe showcased not only the new WeVibe 4, but also new and improved versions of the Tango and the Touch. You can find out more about all their products at WeVibe.com. Coming up, we will continue to answer your questions, and you can give us a call. Stay with us more with the expert, Anita Wagner-Illig, when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live and talking to polyamory expert and educator Anita Wagner-Illig, and we've got to get to more questions. Okay, this question comes to us from Sarah via email. My husband and I started exploring polyamory 7 months ago, and after about 2 months, he told me that he didn't think he was really ready and he needed to slow down. I, on the other hand, was really enjoying myself. He encouraged me to continue what I was doing. I had started to date another man, and I had gotten involved with a married couple. So for the past 4 months or so, I've been polyamorous, where my husband has been monogamous. I've gotten used to this arrangement, but I'm still somewhat confused by it. Have you ever heard anything like this? Well, the answer is yes, we have. And then I'll Anita take it from there.
Oh, yeah, we certainly have. And it's not unusual at all for that to happen because, there's a saying in the poly world that you can only go as fast as the slowest person in the scenario. I think that's not always absolutely true. But what I think it says is that when we try this, a lot of times we aren't prepared for the emotions that will come up for us once we actually are in the midst of it. We use more of our rational brains to decide, oh, that sounds like a great idea. But then once we have the first experience of seeing somebody we are deeply emotionally bonded with, go out with someone else, and have sex with them, even perhaps, that really can rock our world. Now, I don't know what's going on with this fellow specifically, obviously, but it's not at all unusual for people who are new to polyamory to at some point on the way into it, fairly early on, to get scared about losing their partner and be afraid of the feelings that they're having, and to decide they want to take a step back or stop completely. Now, at least this fellow was willing to own that the hesitation was his own and encourage his partner to go ahead with what she's doing. And if that is still the case, if he still wants her to do that, I think perhaps she would be best off just honoring his desire to go more slowly and continue to be sensitive to his feelings and see what happens for him. That's part of the poly adventure, is we don't have a magic eight ball. We don't have anything we can look to for an answer in terms of how things will turn out. But I think if we all live with integrity and we value each other's feelings and we're kind to each other and remember that all this is all about love, then I think we have the best chance of making it turn out okay.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I have a whole chapter on what I call mono-poly relationships, where one partner is monogamous and one person is polyamorous. And it is, in fact, workable as long as everyone agrees to it. And it could be that your husband simply said, okay, I gave that a shot and it's not working for me. But that's okay, because he seems to be open to it working for you. I feel like these people are ahead of the game. That's just my sense from the question.
Yes.
Because it feels like, you know, there's a real open atmosphere. Okay, I want to get to a few more things. We have a great question from Laura Killey, and she recently went through a pretty tough divorce where her ex-husband used the fact that she was non-monogamous against her in court. Uh-huh. This is very, very common. And one of the things she asked about is resources for people, like experts who can testify, people who can talk to therapists or family social workers. And so I just want to say to Laura, thanks so much for your question. And in fact, my first guest, Elizabeth Chef, is a legal consultant. So she has a group called Chef Consulting Group. You can go to our website and get to her website from there. And she and can either help you or refer you to someone else, because this is actually something that's coming up more and more in terms of the legal issues, especially when there are custody of kids and divorce. So I want to put that out there. We've got another question on Twitter here, which is, it's a sort of a two-parter. Can it be polyamory if the other partners are not aware there are multiple partners? The answer is no, that's cheating. But the follow-up to that is, what if you and your partner are honest with each other, but your partner has other relationships with people who aren't honest with their partners? That's a good one. What do you think?
What I think about that is that each person has to make their own decision about whether they're comfortable in that circumstance. I've had friends who got involved with somebody whose partner didn't know, and they seem to be okay with it. I know them to be good people. I was a bit uncomfortable about it myself, but it wasn't my relationship. I personally would not want to date someone whose partner didn't know. I don't want to be a part of cheating on someone else. I've been cheated on before, and I know how awful that feels, and I would not want to put anyone else in that position. So if I were actively looking for partners, which I'm not doing right now, but if I were and I was dating someone and they told me that their partner didn't know, I'd certainly need to know more about why that was. And I'd also have to give serious consideration as to whether I could go forward with it. It's definitely a question about ethics and whether we're behaving in an ethical manner.
Great answer. Okay, we are out of time, but thank you so much, Anita, for answering these questions, and hopefully we'll get to more of them as we do more shows.
Okay, thanks, Tristan. I'm glad to be with you anytime you need somebody.
So Anita Wagner-Illig is a polyamory thought leader, media consultant, spokesperson, and educator. You can find out all about the work she does at practicalpolyamory.com. Follow her on Twitter at Anita Wagner. Search for Practical Polyamory on Facebook. And you can always find me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. The winners of our prizes, I'm drawing from a hat here. Okay. Laura Killey, you have won The Polyamorous Next Door. And
yay.
Colleen from San Diego has won the Sports Sheets Door Jam Restraints. So email me your mailing address, folks, and I will send you your prizes. I want to remind everyone that coming up in March, the 14th to the 16th in Washington, D.C., is Catalyst Con East, an amazing sex-positive event. There's going to be some poly people there, along with really fantastic presenters. They just announced Betty Dodson as the closing keynote. She's a legend, and you got to hear her speak. And then on the Friday during the day before Catalyst Con begins, I'm teaching two of my sex educator boot camps. So go to catalystcon.com to find out more. Use coupon code Tristan for $10 off of registration. I want to thank my entire team that makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett, Matt, my engineer, Barb for the Brooklyn studio, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when you will hear part one of a series from the Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo. So I am talking with the leading movers and shakers of the sex toy industry, along with sex educators and sex bloggers, all about sex toys. We're going to be doing giveaways like crazy. And like I said, it's a multi-part series. Lots of different people interviewed. It's a really good one because I did them right there live on the trade show floor. So in the meantime, keep those conversations going on social media and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.